Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like, subscribe there as well. So we should talk about Damian Lillard, and no better person to discuss that and what could be on the table from the Toronto Raptors and among other teams as well as Daniel Hackett of Raptors HQ, expert when it comes to caps and money and math and stuff like that. Much better than myself. So I will be leveraging your talents. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to having some fun discussions about a trade that might never happen.
Exactly. We were discussing the crickets in the background before we started recording, and it is sort of crickets at the moment when, you know, just to go through some of the timeline so far is Mark Spears, ESPN, a person who's well acquainted with Damian Lillard. They did a one-on-one like a month ago, right? And he kind of broke, I suppose, or he reported on ESPN NBA Today that the Raptors are a front runner. He's like, for whatever that means, as it stands right now, and that the Heat, not saying too much about Damian Lillard. The conversations are kind of dead to a degree. And yeah, they want Grady Dick. And yeah, a few executives within the Eastern Conference have suggested that they wouldn't be surprised if he was traded before training camp starts. And also the Toronto Raptors could be a favorite. And then after that, I mean, it's just like, it's like things coming from the Miami Heat beat reporter side of things. You know, they're comfortable moving on from Damian Lillard because they feel like they can compete without him, as they went to the finals last year. And also, but they're also sort of talking to a few other teams about how they can make a three-team trade happen. And that might sweeten the pot for the Blazers, but also talks are dead. A lot of funny things happening. Oh, also they're getting into the Buddy Hield sweepstakes while also discussing Damian Lillard. That was something that came out from a Florida newspaper. Anyway, that's kind of where things are. And also, oh, sorry, last thing I had to mention. Apparently, they're not interested in offering all seven of their assets, which would be three first-rounders, Hero Jovic, Caleb Martin, Jaquez Jr., person they drafted 18th overall in this past draft. So there you go. That's all the latest and greatest, but that's not the reason why I brought Daniel on. But anyway, anything with that, or are you just like, yeah, that's kind of where we are?
I mean, that is where we are. I mean, the rumors started way back in July, as soon as it was obvious that the Blazers weren't going to trade the third overall pick for help for Dame. And then it was like, well, they're going to trade Dame.
Yeah.
At some point. And at that time, everybody looked at the Heat and said, oh, he wants to go to the Heat.
But because Heat, he said it.
but the Heat can't offer much.
Yeah.
Right. So it was always, oh, the Heat's offer just isn't that good unless Portland really likes Tyler Hero. And it seems like both Portland and the rest of the league doesn't really like Tyler Hero that much.
Which is funny. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but also, I mean, they kind of have that position figured out in a few different ways. It's kind of that simple to me, but that's why you bring in a third team, that maybe there is a team that's interested in Tyler Hero, and it's kind of crickets on that front, oddly,
right?
Because he is a talented player.
That's what you would have thought, is that over the course of the summer, that Miami would find somebody who really, really liked Tyler Hero and would give up the assets that Portland needed to make that deal happen. And apparently they haven't, which makes me think that maybe his value league-wide is not what the Heat thought it was when they signed him to that contract extension. And at the time, at the beginning of summer, people did bring up the Raptors. It's like the Raptors are in kind of a weird spot. They've got two different timelines. Do they consider, like, first the rumors during the draft were, do the Raptors tear it down? Do they get that third overall pick from Portland? And then when that didn't happen, is okay, do the Raptors go the other way? Do they trade some of their youth or some of their uncertainty anyway for an established star in Damian Lillard? We always talk about the Raptors lying in wait, setting themselves up so they always have enough decent pieces on the team that they can consolidate if the opportunity comes up. And this is one such opportunity.
And between Portland and Miami, it seemed like it was a bit of a game of chicken because Miami's like, we know where he wants to end up. And then the other reports were emerging that he's not going to show up and he's not going to be happy. And also, that's another thing that Mark Spears has refuted, saying that he's going to go and be a professional, but he still wants to be in Miami. And that's also was the same with Kawhi Leonard, as we all know, but he did end up staying at least one season and he won a championship with the franchise. And between the two franchises, Miami and Portland, no one's really blinked yet to a degree, you know, and that's why we're kind of at a standstill. And then Portland, they're waiting for someone to emerge and Masai's like, hola, I can help.
Yeah,
I can help, guys.
The Kawhi example is a good one. There's been a couple of really high profile examples of players kind of actually forcing their way off of teams fairly recently. But the reality is, in the history of the NBA, those are the exceptions. Like, most often, especially when guys are locked into a long-term deal like Dame is,
yeah,
you only go where you want to go if that team's willing to pony up a good offer. And if they're not, like, Miami simply doesn't seem like they are, it's not going to happen. Well, there's no reason for Portland to cave to that. So Miami can't seem to put it together, but players really actually holding out and not playing is rare. The Kawhi Leonard example was great because that was exactly what everybody was saying when the Raptors traded for him. He's not going to show up. He's not going to play. And, of course, it ended well. So with Lillard, there's even less risk than there was with Leonard. Mm. You've got him locked up to term. Even if he decided he wasn't going to play, you could then turn around and trade him to some other team. He would still have some value. You could recoup.
Yep. By the way, James Harden apparently is not going to be reporting to Media Day on Monday. That's via Keith Pompey. So there's that. And it's true that usually, I mean, like in recent history, you just think of the players that superstar players that when they want to go somewhere, they just end up getting there. You know, Kevin Durant, Paul George, James Harden. But again, the term, the age of Damian Lillard. And I still think if it comes down to, you know, obviously we got to think about the pieces that are involved in a trade and are the Raptors in a position to compete for in the Eastern Conference, or maybe even, gosh, compete for a championship. That has to be factored into what this trade looks like. But in the Eastern Conference, I think you would agree that it's fairly wide open, at least from we got the Boston Celtics and they just traded Marcus Smart, which is crazy. And I'm curious how that all works out. I just mentioned what's going on with the 76ers. I can't believe they're actually not in this conversation with Damian Lillard, because that kind of solidifies a lot of the issues that they could be facing with the Joel Embiid, Giannis, Milwaukee. He's made it pretty clear that he wants to keep on winning, and that could be another case where, you know, he could be on the market. But at this very moment, there's like one team up there, right? You could say the Boston Celtics. After that, who knows? And if the Miami Heat don't get Damian Lillard, then they're kind of out of the conversation too. It's very open. You could say maybe the closest thing to a sure thing would be the Cleveland Cavaliers after the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Or like a few seasons at least. Actually, I can't say that because Donovan Mitchell might be leaving. So, yeah.
honestly, a lot of comparisons are being drawn to the Kawhi Leonard trade. And people saying, well, you know, when we traded for Kawhi Leonard, when the Raptors traded for him, that was a very strong, very deep team. And if they trade for Damian Lillard, they won't be as deep and they won't be as strong. They're not starting from a 60-win point.
Yeah.
But the conference back then was much stronger than it is now. There's a bunch of question marks at the top right now. That year, the Philadelphia team they beat would be easily better than any team in the conference this year.
100%.
Like, that team had Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid and. It was quite a feat to get past them. And the other teams were also very good. Giannis was already into his peak. It was a tough conference. So the reality is, to make a trade like this, the Raptors don't need to be as good as they were in the championship season. The term helps too. You don't have to get it done in one year. You did then.
Do you worry about Dame's age and how that's gonna affect what he is in year three? Say he is with the Raptors for 4 years. Are you concerned at all about what he looks like when he's 35 years old and maybe even like 36 years old and he's making $60 million in that player option year?
To some degree, sure. And that's kind of the price you pay. Like, you pay the price of the fourth and maybe the third year for the first two and maybe first 3 years of success. the reality is, if you're in a situation where you're trying to grab a star off the market, beggars can't be choosers. If one's available and there's a always got an expensive contract at the fourth yep. year of a 4-year deal, okay.
sure.
You've only got so much window that you can generate at any given time. So I think it's a risk worth taking.
I mean, I don't want to compare him too much to Steph Curry because they're the separate players, both going to be Hall of Famers. But Steph Curry, what he's doing right now, he's coming off of a season where he averaged 36-6. Dame hasn't played that much over the past two seasons. He had an abdominal injury, but then there was a lot of just sitting and waiting. And then he had his last season where it was the best of his career. He was like nearly the leading scorer in the NBA. He was a massively positive player for the Portland Trail Blazers. And I think he, in some ways, he added some time to his peak when he wasn't playing that much. And I'm sure that was part of his plan too. He's like, if we're not going to be competing, I'm not going to play because I have desires and championship aspirations and I'm not going to be doing with you guys this season. So fine, I'm going to sit. And it's funny that Fred VanVleet had mentioned this on the podcast I did with him and CJ Miles on Strictly Hoops. And he had mentioned this about Jeff Doughton Jr. Like, yeah, he's older. It's like, but he doesn't have NBA years on his body. It's like, and that's a huge difference, you know, when you're 26 versus 20, like those early, every single season in the NBA is a grind. That's why there's so much, you know, load management happening these days. Because we're realizing this with sports science, we're learning about this. And I think that's helped Dame's case a little bit. And I think it's okay for us to believe and think that 3 years from now, he's still going to be a very good NBA player. Very, very good. He could be, if he's 23-6-6, 23-5-5, for instance, is that bad? Really?
Yeah. It's worth noting that he could fall off a bit and still be very good. Yeah. Exactly. I think, like various impact stats last year, like EPM had him top three in the league in terms of impact, like an incredible season he just had. So he's got a ways to go to fall off before he's actually not helping you very much.
And then on the con side of things, just going through those, we have them all out of the way. It's age. It's, is he truly going to be happy here? Could he be, you know, 2 years into this, is he kind of done with this and he's requesting a trade again? And then you've lost some assets and now you're, I mean, the Raptors don't have a lot of assets and they're going to be probably giving up some in this trade. Assuming Scottie Barnes is still on the team, which we're going to get to that stuff in a second. And I think he would be if Dame does come to Toronto. But those are things you got to think about, but this is part of the risk. And Masai himself had said, at his end of season that, you know, there is no free agency anymore. It's player transactions. That's how it is now. And when those situations do come up, you're going to take some risk and there's going to be a contract like this that you got to take on. What do you want to do with it? The Raptors don't want to tank. They've told us many, many times when they got Jakob Poeltl at the deadline, they told us they don't want to tank. So now, like, make your move now. That's what how I see it. And if you're not going to tank, and I actually, if there are those that believe that they should have or should now, I get it, but they're not. So let's think about that realm, that space. And within that, get a great point guard.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big ask from the fandom is pick a direction. Just do one or the other, right? It's been a lot of can't tell which direction they're going to go.
Yeah.
They've made some swings. Like, they added Jakob Poeltl. Like, that was a great move. They absolutely needed a center. They also added Jakob Poeltl 2.5 years after they should have added a center.
Yeah.
Right. So there's mixed messages of like, well, you haven't really been doing all you can to win. But you definitely haven't been tanking. You're trading draft picks. You're not tanking. I think it segues nicely into the next sort of section is that, like, I don't think the risks are the ones that you were listing. I think the risks are associated with what do you have to give up to get them? And that's a big question mark right now.
Well, let's have it. Let's go through the most Raptors friendly deal that they could offer the Blazers. What's the most Raptors friendly deal? And I think it's going to include either OG Anunoby or Gary Trent Jr., but proceed.
Right. So, I mean, one of the problems for the Raptors, it's not really a problem, but the situation the Raptors find themselves in right now is that they are very close to the tax line, which is, generally speaking, fine. If you're going to trade for a superstar like Willard, you're happy to go under the tax.
Yep.
Such is life. You pay the tax for a good team. Not a problem. The problem they have is that they did use the mid-level exception and the biannual exception this year to sign their free agents. They signed Schroeder and they signed McDaniels.
Yep.
Use either of those exceptions, you activate a hard cap. And that hard cap is located about $7 million above the tax line. So in any of these trades for Dame, they can't take on too much salary. To take on more than $7 million, it's illegal. Not only that, in the trade itself, you can make the trade math work, so you'll only take on $6 million. But let's say they have to trade four players to get to match for Dame. They then have to sign a bunch of free agents to fill out the roster. And they can't go over the hard cap even then. So they have to leave room to sign guys as well. So you can only add about $7 million in salary, $7 or $8 million, between the trade math and replenishing your roster after. It makes the math tricky to make work. Even trickier than a trade machine would tell you. So,
yeah.
which is tough enough as it is.
Yeah.
So Dame makes a lot of money. So the Raptors have to send out a good deal of money to match that. That means that I've tried a bunch of variations, even if they were including Scottie Barnes and a bunch of other mid-level size contracts, they really cannot make it work without one of OG or Gary, is essentially the conclusion that we come to. So in terms of the most Raptors-friendly deal, you have to think that would be Gary going out. You know, I like Gary, but he's not all defensive player OG Anunoby. there's a reason OG is a risk for signing potentially a max contract next summer, because he's very, very good. He's probably not max contract good, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything in a free market cap space situation.
No, not where the market's going. Not where that TV deal's going. Doesn't matter anymore.
it's very likely that he'll get, if not a maximum contract, a very high offer on the market at some point. And Gary Trent Jr., we're talking about maybe he'll extend at $20 million a year. There's a reason there's a discrepancy between his $20 million and OG's potential $40 million is that they are different value players. So ideally, you keep OG. Now, next season, when you have to give OG the max, your tax bill starts to get a little crazy.
Sure.
Maybe that's the price you pay. Certainly, if I had my way, I would be keeping OG on the roster, because if you want to compete, a defender like that is very valuable. But, you know, in terms of constructing a deal, you're then talking about Gary Trent Jr. going out. That's the bulk of the salary you have to send. Maybe Chris Boucher goes along. He's a guy who makes around $12 million. But you've got a bunch of options. It could be Chris Boucher. It could be Thad Young.
Yep.
Otto Porter Jr. We've got a bunch of expiring or near expiring contracts of that sort of mid-level size. And then the question is, what makes the Blazers accept that deal? So if it was a deal constructed around just filler salary, Gary plus filler, then it's draft picks and prospects. And you can add a couple of prospects in. Maybe it's Precious Achiuwa. Maybe it's Grady Dick, which is, of course, the rumor that's going around is that the Blazers like Grady Dick.
Fancy him. Yes.
They fancy Grady Dick. The fancy guy.
Yeah, he is.
He is. Or it's draft picks. The Raptors have draft picks to trade. They're a little bit restricted by the fact that they traded a draft pick for Jakob Poeltl. But considering how unlikely it is for them to actually end up with a top six pick one after trading for Damian Lillard, in all likelihood, they'll be able to trade three picks as part of this deal.
You remove the protections, right?
You don't have to remove the protections. You can make it conditional. You can say, the first available pick. So once the 2024 transfers, then 2026 is available, and that one can be the first one that gets sent. And if the 2024 pick slides, then the entire Portland deal slides as well. And that's one way that you can lose a pick on the end. If that pick slides, then the 2030 pick way down the line has to disappear, because you're not allowed to trade more than 7 years in the future. But it's such an unlikely scenario, it wouldn't be considered a big risk by Portland if they were looking at that off. So not a big issue.
No. So I don't want to get rid of Chris Boucher. I don't want to get rid of Chris Boucher. Only because, I mean, I know we got it. If you're doing the trade, you're doing the trade, right? But if you're also in win now mode, I mean, a person who's as good at his role as he is, can shoot the three. You can try and bank on a rebound season from beyond the arc. He's excellent at his role, and he fits like a glove. And you can see him working really well with Dennis Schroeder, with Damian Lillard, like running the floor and transition.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Efficient and rebounding and getting out and on the couch and finishing around the rim. And it's kind of a natural fit, but again, you have to make the money work, but it would be nice to keep him if you're trying to be a playoff team.
Yeah. You do have to send some pieces. So yeah, if you want to keep Boucher, so one of the reasons Boucher's name has constantly come up is that right now in the depth chart, you kind of only have room for one backup power forward, and that's either Chris Boucher or Precious Achiuwa. So if Precious is outgoing as a prospect, then absolutely you try to keep Boucher, because he's your power forward at that point. But if you want to find minutes for Precious, Boucher might not be playing that much, and then maybe he's expendable in such a deal.
So I guess we're done with Vision 6-9. I guess that's what it means.
I don't know.
Chris Boucher at the three?
Hopefully not. We've got actual wings to play backup wing now.
Okay, so that's like the ideal Toronto trade, but the difference in, you know, what the Blazers would want, like, we know it's probably going to be OG Anunoby. We know it's probably going to be Grady Dick. After that, what are the other pieces that would be involved? Does it change that much, or?
Again, it's mostly filler. So it's a question of value, right? So I assume that the value of the deal that I proposed would just make the Blazers say no, that if they don't get OG, then they're not happy with prospects and picks.
Yeah.
And if they don't get, if they're stuck taking Gary, which A is an awkward situation for all involved because he left and didn't have nice things to say about Portland in general. At least he had the impression he wasn't happy to be in Portland and was happier to be away from there. So sending him back there is not great.
Yeah.
But if Gary is just generally not that high value of return compared to OG. So if they're not getting that high value return in the deal, I don't know that the prospect package is good enough. With OG, I would think the prospect package would be good enough to make the deal happen. So I think that's the main difference. Maybe you don't send quite as many picks. Maybe it's OG, Grady Dick, and a pick or two. I'm not sure exactly how it shakes out. That comes down to the negotiation table, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to think that it would be a little bit nicer for them to have OG coming back. Obviously, the prize that Portland is after is Scotty Barnes. Which, by all accounts, the Raptors are saying, nope, not Scotty Barnes, not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, which is interesting. It means that they're definitely not betting everything on the Dame Lillard trade working out and them winning a chip. Because if you think you're going to win a championship, you might trade Scotty Barnes for that.
Yes.
And you keep OG Anunoby. And you keep as much of your depth as you can, and you just make a run. Whereas, if you think, you know, we'll give it a shot, but we're not going to punt the future on this, that's when you're holding on to Scotty Barnes really tightly. So I imagine if that's what they're doing, then, I mean, if they were going to trade Scotty Barnes, then it's just you're using Gary as salary filler. You're using a couple of other filler pieces and Scotty Barnes as the centerpiece. The fact that anybody's talking at all about Grady Dick, the fact that Grady Dick's name came up means Scotty Barnes is off the table. Mm-hmm. Because if you're getting a Scotty Barnes package, you're not asking for Grady Dick too.
No, it's too many prospects.
It's not even too many prospects. It's just that, you know, if Portland had the chance to get Scotty Barnes, they should be taking the offer.
Yeah.
Stopping the conversation.
Yeah. I got you. And even, you know, even the fit, like if we're talking hypothetical and your starting lineup is, I don't know, OG Anunoby, Damian Lillard, Scotty, Pascal, and Jakob.
Well, I don't sure.
Like we saw the limitations of that lineup already, and like obviously, I mean, it's a separate conversation, but the shooting ability of Damian Lillard does change the conversation a lot. However, okay, so, there are still limitations to it.
So first off, the limitations. That lineup with Fred VanVleet was basically the best Raptors lineup all season. So the offense had its limitations, but overall net rating wise, they were dominant. Dominant, best lineup we've seen in years from the team.
Yeah.
Now, there's also the
non-crunch time, but yeah.
Well, crunch time is a sample of minutes. It's kind of hard to judge a lineup on crunch time over the last 20 games of the season. Yeah. But I mean, if your concern is crunch time, then I think Dame Lillard basically solves that.
He does. He does. This is why he's a valuable player. He's
that's
very
the
good.
Big question mark. He's the answer. So. So I mean, I would have very little concern about if they could have that lineup, that would be a dream. I don't see a scenario where they're trading neither of Scotty or OG.
Yeah.
So more likely you've got OG or Scotty playing the three, and then you've got Gary starting at the two, or Otto Porter Jr. as a shooting wing who's just there. You know, you have options. But yeah, that dream scenario I think is better than maybe you're painting it out to be. And also is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. Humor me here. So, because sure. To me, if you're rebuilding and you're retooling whatever as you are with the Blazers, and you have this young core, it's like 22, 23 years old. And wouldn't it be nice to have like a Christian Koloko? Wouldn't you be curious about that?
Maybe. I mean, if they need, I haven't looked too closely at what they need on their roster. I imagine they could use a center prospect. But I don't know. The rumors I've heard is they've got their sights set on a bigger name at the center position. If they
before we get to that, if they strike out on that person, which we're going to get to in a second, a framework of Grady Dick and Christian Koloko plus salary filler, for instance.
I mean, if that's just filler, that's the Raptors' dream. Like those two picks, Gary. I mean, that's great. That's a win now. Go for it, sort of move. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, but okay.
I just don't think it's the there's value in building a team, and then there's being able to sell a trade to your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't know that you check that second box with that move, and it's questionable whether you check the first box.
Yeah.
I like Christian Koloko a lot. I think he should be the full time backup center. We should not see a single minute this year with neither him nor Pirtle on the floor. The Raptors were consistently excellent all last season when either one of them was on the floor. But I doubt he has that much cachet league-wide to really do this.
No, I get you. Just curious what you thought about that one. Yeah. Defensive estimated plus minus. He was 11th in the NBA last year. And that's
something. Smaller sample, but still.
It means something, though. We saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then the final thing I wanted to ask you about is what you alluded to. It's three team trades. And the center you were talking about was DeAndre Ayton. There have been conversations around that. And if you recall, Phoenix was interested in OG Anunoby on the trade deadline, along with a few other teams. But there's probably some sort of fancy framework within what we're talking about, where Nurkic and an OG or something like that is going to Phoenix, and then Ayton is going to the Blazers, and everyone's hunky-dory, Dame's in Toronto. So let me hear it. Let's see it.
Sure. I mean, it's that sort of structure. So I do think, generally speaking, a third team doesn't really help the deal happen. I think that if the Raptors give up enough value for the Blazers, then that's basically what they're looking for. The one question mark is OG. OG's a pending free agent. OG is he's young-ish, but he's very much in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He's a win now piece. Is Portland really looking for that? They might be. They might be wanting someone who can be a leader, who can grow with the core that they've developed there. and still be good at sort of when they're hitting their peaks. And they have the financial flexibility to just sign them. But if they aren't looking for that yet, they don't want to be good yet, they want to take a breath for a couple of years before really beginning the climb, or they just have their eyes set on some other piece, that's where the third team comes in. So with all these rumors about Phoenix and them wanting Ayton, and Phoenix kind of maybe needing to trade Ayton, depending on whether he even shows up to camp, it seems like an opportunity. And there's probably not a lot of teams around the league with an extra center, starting quality center, that they might just hand over. And Portland is one of them. Portland, Nurkic has been very good in the past. He's had a couple of down years, but he's been playing for bad teams, and that happens to good players on bad teams. Jakob Poeltl did not look good in San Antonio and looked great with the Raptors, who were just a middling. They weren't a good team. They were just a middling team. So take good players and give them a chance to win every night, and they usually look pretty good.
Nectar pieces.
So
making lineups that fit. Isn't that something?
And even like Marc Gasol, when the Raptors traded for him in the championship season, he was having his worst season by far as a Grizzly. He looked done, and the trade they made was a bet that wasn't real. He was just on a bad team. And he showed up, and he had his struggles, but he was still very much a huge positive contributor. So the bet here for Phoenix would be, well, if we just can't have Ayton on the team, if that's a non-starter, Nurkic is a pretty good backup option. Yeah. And if you can get a Nurkic and OG Anunoby, they can see why they'd be happy to part with a guy like Ayton, even though he's, to them, a maximum salary center. Because they're going for it. And OG is exactly the sort of guy they need. And Nurkic fills the positional need. Mm-hmm. Seems like a win. Why Portland wants Ayton, I'm not sure. But if they want him, great. I think at that point, the only question is what sort of... It's the same structure. You send OG, you send a couple of prospects, whatever, as part of the deal. You've got a little bit of salary filler in there. The Raptors still have to send out enough salary to match for Dame coming back. So you still need to send all that filler. The Phoenix being involved doesn't change that. But maybe Phoenix...
Does the amount change? Does the amount of filler change?
No, the amount of filler doesn't change. So the Raptor math stays exactly the same.
Okay.
Now you've got the opportunity for maybe Phoenix sends you a piece in the trade that helps balance out the roster or makes the money
worth Watanabe. Yuta Watanabe.
any number of pieces. Small salary probably. But for the most part, the deal's going to look the same for the Raptors. The question is, does it make Phoenix more likely to accept a little less from the Raptors if they get what they want out of the deal, which is Ayton? They get off Nurkic's money and all this other stuff. So maybe you send a little less in terms of draft compensation. Maybe they want one less prospect. Or maybe you send the same amount and just one of those picks goes to Phoenix instead of Portland, just to make everybody happy in the deal. It does seem like a pretty win-win scenario for everybody involved. It does probably require the Raptors to trade OG. I was exploring some options where it's like, well, the Raptors don't want to trade OG and they do want to trade Gary. And Portland doesn't want Gary because they've had him before and didn't work out. If Phoenix is desperately looking to move Ayton, then Gary Trent Jr. could be that's a valuable piece. Not great,
but yeah.
Give them another shooter. Give them another, like a sixth man type to help them score off the bench. And between him and Nurk, it's a bit of a return for Ayton. That's one where you'd probably have to find some other value to send their way. But yeah, Phoenix seems like a good opportunity. I don't know of any other teams that are obvious matches. Unless something crazy happens with Philly and they actually move Harden, and then who knows what that shakes out league-wide in that situation.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it doesn't really change the math from the Raptors' end. As long as they can put the pieces on the table that Portland likes or can leverage into another piece somewhere else, they've got a chance to trade for.
Ishmael Wainwright, you are a Toronto Raptor once again in this scenario. They got to bring him back. They would have to.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be. Loved him. He was so delightful. The Pacers, is there something there? Because we know that Buddy Hield kind of wants out, new contract, new money. Is there a framework that makes sense there? That's kind of a tougher question because you got to go through the Pacers cap stuff and all that.
It is tough. I would think the Pacers are probably in a decent shape cap wise.
They got a very fun team, by the way.
Right. So, I mean, maybe that's probably another one where it's like, if they're looking to get rid of Buddy Hield, and you know, does Gary appeal to them in that sort of situation? Because you know, Buddy Hield's not the guy. You're not going to trade him for a whole lot of value. He's an expiring veteran. He's a great shooter, an excellent shooter, but not the sort of player that teams give up a bounty for. So, are they happy to swap him out for a younger player who might extend with them in Gary Trent Jr.? Maybe. And if so, that maybe that just greases the wheels a bit on a deal with Portland. I don't see how much it helps, just because in a situation where Buddy Hield was on the move, you'd think the team that would want him would be the Raptors.
Yes.
You know, veteran shooter. Add him to the team. But in this scenario, we're talking about adding Damian Lillard, so it's tough to add that much salary in a single deal.
It is.
So it might be a situation where if Indy was going to get involved, maybe there'd be a fourth team. The Hield's going to the fourth team when there's a whole bunch of contracts moving around. So I'm not sure.
Maybe that's why it's taking so long, right? Is because there's going to be this mega six-team trade that's going to just melt the NBA.
Harden will move two, and so will Ayton. It'll end up being the first three-team trade in NBA history.
Holy smokes. I don't know what they're going to do, the 76ers. Like, they're in a really tough spot here.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
It's their problem. I'm not sympathizing or anything like that. Like, that's your bed. You made it. But anyways... Other teams that you think could get involved in the Dame sweepstakes? Is it really just Miami and Toronto? Or is there another team? Like, there's been rumblings about Boston. There's been rumblings about Orlando. Michael Green did mention that the other day.
Orlando's a weird one.
Yeah.
Orlando, they must, like, really want to win now. I feel like they're...
Well, they got 11 guards, so they got to do something.
Add another guard. Make it 12.
But he plays 30 minutes. He plays 30 minutes, so... But yeah,
it's true.
I wouldn't mind Cole Anthony. He'd be cool. He'd be cool. But
okay. I think Dame's a tough fit. I think if there was a whole bunch of teams out there that were clamoring to make a trade for Dame, like he is aging, he's got a big contract, he has requested a very specific destination. So there's always the fear that he won't perform, even if he shows up, whether he's going to be all there. For you
happy
team
culture, that's a thing, team unity, you want to win a championship, you need,
and then it's
a
question of like timeline for teams. Like the Raptors were in a real middle ground where it might make some sense to just be able to pick a direction based on a move like this. There's not a lot of teams there. There's teams that are already really good, like Boston. I don't see how they put together a good package for Dame, and also those teams are generally good enough that do they want to risk adding Dame to the mix?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the cost, depending on the fit, is it going to work out? If it's not where he wants to be, is it worth the risk to the locker room? Team like Toronto is like looking at maybe another 500 season and saying, well, what's the risk? and there's not a lot of other teams like that. Orlando is a weird one. I could see them, if they just really want to win, going for it. It's just, I don't see why they do it so soon. Like the Raptors trading for Dame is like, we're hoping to go from a 500 team to a 50-win team and make some noise in the playoffs. Orlando has a much, if they want to be a 50-win team and make noise in the playoffs, they'd have a huge leap to make. They were pretty significant with the Raptors in the standings. So it's a bit of a stretch. I don't see any other really obvious fits. And I think that's part of why this is just dragging out.
Yeah.
The Heat want him and can't afford him, and there's very few other teams that will make a real offer.
And this is also the problem with there not being a typical free agency anymore, is that there's going to be a player, just like we saw last offseason with Kevin Durant, now it's Damian Lillard in this offseason, where all of a sudden, well, they're available, and teams aren't prepared to pony up their assets, right? They're just not ready for it. But a team like OKC, like, I'm sure they have their eyes set on one of these guys, right? They're putting themselves in a position, and it's to credit to their franchise. They got all kinds of, like, they're just trying to find ways to get rid of, they have to get rid of a very good player on their roster this upcoming season. Who's definitely an NBA player, but they just have too much talent. What a problem.
Well, but they're going to be in a position. You have five draft picks in every draft.
True. Absolutely. But like when it comes down to it, when Joel Embiid or a Giannis do become available, now they're like, we have this many assets for you. So, but they're one of the only teams, the New York Knicks as well.
Those teams tend to be very young. And as they approach their peak, the guy they want to trade for isn't in his mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his early 30s. He's just turning 30. They want the Giannis. They don't want the Dame. So it does make that trade fit a little tough to find.
All right. Well, we'll see how all this shakes out now. It was a great chat, man. Thank you so much for joining me. Anything you want to add before we head out of here?
Not really. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Fun times, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the chat. We'll talk to you very soon. Let's see what happens. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.